Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so it's Sunday afternoon and there's a lot happening across robotics, chip architecture, and some genuinely surprising moves from the big AI labs. Let's start with something practical. If you're building on ROS2, you've got about 48 hours before the feature window closes. The core packages for ROS2's lyrical release freeze on Tuesday, the 21st of April. After that, only bug fixes get through until branching. The final release lands on the 22nd of May. Now, I know this sounds like standard release management, and it is, but here's why it matters. If you're shipping production robots or deploying new capabilities that depend on upstream ROS2 features, this is a hard deadline, not a soft one, not a we'll figure it out later one. After Tuesday, you wait until the next cycle. For teams running tight timelines, that's the difference between shipping in Q2 or Q3. Worth checking your roadmap against that date. The takeaway? ROS moves on a calendar. If your project doesn't, you adapt to theirs. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. OpenAI just released GPT Rosalind. And no, this isn't another general-purpose chat model. This is built specifically for life sciences research. What does it do? It reads papers, connects to over 50 scientific tools, generates hypotheses, and plans experiments. Basically, it automates the thinking work that researchers usually do between reading a study and running a new one. Now, the model is access-controlled, vetted researchers only. But it shipped alongside upgrades to OpenAI's Agents SDK, which tells you something about where they're headed. This isn't just a model drop. It's infrastructure for a different kind of research speed. Think about what that means for a second. Right now, a researcher reads a paper, connects the dots to their own work, designs an experiment. That takes days, sometimes weeks. With Rosalind, you feed it the paper. It suggests the next experiment. You review it. You run it. The bottleneck shifts from thinking to doing. And here's the bit that really stood out to me. This is OpenAI moving beyond chat models into workflow automation. They're not just making conversation better. They're embedding intelligence into the actual process of discovery. That's a different game entirely. Full disclosure, I've been thinking about this all morning. Because if you can automate hypothesis generation in life sciences, what other domains are next? Legal research, material science, architecture? Worth having a think about where your own workflow has that same read, think, plan bottleneck. Right, let's talk about chips. Azeem Azar wrote a piece this week about Jensen Huang's worldview. And honestly, it's one of the clearest explanations I've seen of why NVIDIA's moat is so deep. Here's Jensen's framing. Quote, "The input is electrons. The output is tokens. In the middle is NVIDIA. That's it. That's the business model. But what makes it work isn't just the chip. It's CUDA. The software platform that's 20 years deep in researcher muscle memory. Google can build custom silicon. AWS can build custom silicon. Microsoft can build custom silicon. But without an ecosystem, those chips stay niche. The real threat isn't another company building a better GPU. The real threat is someone building an adjacent ecosystem that's good enough. And that's exactly what China's doing with Huawei Ascend. Huawei doesn't need to beat CUDA. They just need to be good enough for the 50% of AI developers in China who can't access NVIDIA. That's adjacent market disruption. And it's the kind of threat that doesn't show up in quarterly earnings until it's already shifted the platform standard. Azeem also digs into why NVIDIA invests billions in companies that might fail. And Jensen's answer is fascinating. They underwrite supplier investments across the entire chip supply chain. That creates self-fulfilling forecasts. If NVIDIA says they need X amount of capacity, suppliers build it. Because NVIDIA's backing the risk. That's over $250 billion in implicit commitments. The takeaway? NVIDIA isn't just selling chips. They're building the entire stack, and they're making sure the infrastructure exists before the demand even arrives. That's how you stay 18 months ahead. Completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me. Anthropics and OpenAI just made two opposite strategic moves, and both of them make total sense. Anthropic is pivoting toward transparency and interpretability. They published research showing that 78% of models in production lack proper documentation. That's a mess, and for enterprises trying to adopt AI, it's a blocker. So Anthropic's leaning into trust, open research, interpretability tools. The pitch is, you can understand how this works. OpenAI is doing the exact opposite. They're doubling down on closed source performance systems, bigger models, faster inference, better results. The pitch is, we're the best. Trust the output. Both strategies make sense because they're targeting different customers. Anthropic is going after regulated industries, healthcare, finance, legal, places where you need to explain how the model reached a decision. OpenAI is going after everyone else. Developers who just want the fastest, smartest model and don't care how it works under the hood. What's interesting is that both moves are being driven by cost and enterprise adoption. Transparency reduces compliance risk, performance reduces operational cost. Same pressures, opposite solutions. Have a think about which side of that divide your own organization sits on, because the tooling you choose flows from that answer. Okay, one more technical one before we wrap. Google just released TurboQuant, and if you've ever tried to run a model with massive context windows, this is going to make your day. Here's the problem. KV cache eats your VRAM. The longer the context, the more memory you need. Eventually, you hit a ceiling and the model just stops. TurboQuant fixes that through multi-stage quantization. Basically, they compress the cache without losing the information. The result? Massive context windows with minimal memory overhead. For anyone running long context inference, this is critical infrastructure. Think legal document analysis, multi-hour meeting transcriptions, research synthesis across hundreds of papers. All of that becomes cheaper and faster. The thing I keep coming back to is this. Every few months, someone removes a constraint that felt fundamental: model size, inference speed, memory limits. And every time, the question shifts from, can we do this, to what do we do now that we can? TurboQuant is one of those shifts. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep noticing. The bottlenecks are moving. ROS has a calendar. You adapt to it or you wait. Research has a thinking step. OpenAI is automating it. Chips have an ecosystem moat. Huawei's building an adjacent one. Transparency and performance are opposite strategies. Both are working. Memory was a constraint. Now it's not. Every shift removes a limitation and creates a new question. The teams that move fast are the ones asking the new question before everyone else notices the old constraint is gone. Something to think about on the commute tomorrow. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.